Hello, this is Barry Smith. I'm introducing panel session 4 of the Ontology Summit 2010. The topic of this panel session is creating a template for ontology training programs. I will give a very brief introduction, and then Fabian Neuhaus will take over, and he will present our ideas contributing towards the idea of creating a common template which people can share when creating ontology training programs in the future. Could you move to the next slide, Peter? So we have specific goals in taking part in this, and certainly I have specific goals recommending the topic for this year's Ontology Summit as being training ontologists. First of all, as we all know, there are multiple projects all around the world which are currently recruiting ontologists. These projects are in the industrial, the government, and the academic research areas, and indeed in other areas. And if we want to summarize why all of these projects are suddenly sprouting in all directions, I think the best way of summarizing the reason is that multiple organizations are facing ever more urgent data integration problems. They are discovering that the data silos which were created over the years by their various constituent parts do not interoperate, and ontology is seen as a solution to this problem of interoperability of data silos. There is therefore a need for trained ontologists, but the problem is that there are very few trained ontologists to address this need, and the result is that people who would not meet any reasonable standards for being ontologists are applying for these jobs, and the results of that are that sometimes the artifacts that they create don't work. One reason for this is that there is no identifiable body of shared knowledge, techniques, or standards or criteria for evaluating ontology. And this means that such training programs as do exist are sparse and poorly coordinated in ways which would be unacceptable in an area such as physics or chemistry, where there is an identifiable body of shared knowledge. And so the idea is, and it's a somewhat strange idea, that rather than creating a body of shared knowledge and then create a training program, given the need for trained ontologists, we use the fact that training programs need to exist in any case and are being created as a strategy for establishing this requisite shared body of knowledge. So next slide, Peter. So what we have a quite specific idea of what it means to train an ontologist, which is again motivated by the need for people to be recruited under this heading. So an ontologist is someone who knows how to create an ontology which addresses data silo problems and, of course, related problems that we're summarizing here. This is not a knowledge engineering problem. It's not a computer science problem. Computer scientists to know about how to manipulate ontologies with digital artifacts may not know the first thing about how to create an ontology for a specific group or organization in such a way to address the data silo problem of that organization. And philosophers are equally unlikely to have this particular set of competencies. So ontologists are a new species of experts, capable person. They are not identifiable with any of the existing products of existing training programs. We have to create something new. Next slide. Now, part of what this training will involve will be theoretical knowledge, and part of it will be technical knowledge. We believe that technical ontology expertise is going to be of a higher quality if there is some real theoretical content on which the ontology engineering work is based. And so we very much see ontology as requiring a common body of shared theoretical knowledge and not merely a common body of shared practical expertise. And we see ontologies, from this point of view, as formal logical artifacts of a rather narrow time. So we're not intending to create people who can create folksonomies, whatever they are, or tag clouds. They're interested in ontologies in a much narrower sense than that. For good reasons, we believe, we can point to success stories where ontologists creating such formal logical artifacts have indeed solved silo problems in demonstrable ways. Next slide. Now, in devising this template, we are creating a straw man. So it will be a straw man which will need to be modified and elaborated upon in light of the results of the surveys which are being performed as we speak. We have also drawn a great deal on the straw man which Mike Gruninger presented at an earlier panel session, and so you can regard the document which Fabian was presenting very much as a commentary on Mike's training content description. Next slide. Now, one component which I want to emphasize for my own selfish reasons, I work with people who are doing ontology in a number of different domains. I work with people building ontologies who come from a number of different backgrounds. They all use different terminologies. They do not know that they are using terminologies which are different from the other people that they are collaborating with, and the result is that confusion flows. Now, one of the basic compulsory elements of an ontology training program, in my view, is an attempt to address this need for a common terminology, or at least for a common understanding of the multiple terminologies which are in play in the ontology field. Is someone typing? What we need is a much clearer understanding of what terms like class and instance and model and so forth mean. If you look at the glossaries produced by these various organizations, for instance, the OWL glossary or the RDF glossary, you will find that they do not produce clear elucidations of what their basic terms mean. And they certainly do not produce clear elucidations of how their basic terms relate to the basic terms used by the other communities here represented. And then I think the final slide, Peter. We believe that there are not merely needs for shared content and shared practical expertise, but also a need for two kinds of expertise. Every ontologist should have expertise related to human beings, which includes, for instance, the capacity to create human-readable definitions and human-readable documentation, and also expertise related to software. And if there is one quick way of summarizing where we differ from Mike Gruninger, it's that we attempt to give equal weight to these two indispensable components of trained ontology. That we do not see ontology as being a primarily computational endeavor. It's partly computational, but it's essentially going to involve human beings. Human beings are going to be the ones who maintain and use the ontology. However good your software is, if human beings don't use an ontology, then the ontology is useless as a tool for solving data silos. Now, I introduce Fabian Neuhaus, who will take it from here.
Okay, thank you, Barry. Can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Yes.
Okay, well, I'm on the different slide set, and I'm on the second one. So let me just reintroduce the goal of how I see it from the panel session. So while Michael collected ideas, Michael and Leo actually, both collected a long list of all the topics that are relevant. And Amanda in her panel after requirements, which didn't include just knowledge, but also a lot of skills that people had to learn. Both of these were wish lists. I mean, they were not prioritized, and it would be great if we would find somebody who knows all of that which was on the list and have all the skills that were required. But it's very unlikely that we can train people to have all of this knowledge and all of these skills in an acceptable amount of time. So the way I look at our panel session is basically trying to prioritize what are the skills and the knowledge that any ontologist who is supposed to be any ontologist is supposed to have. So this is how I see the goal of this session. So what is not going to be the goal? We're on slide number 2, and now we're on the next slide. We talked about it yet. So what is not the goal of the panel session is the to discuss in detail how the knowledge and how the skills are going to be taught. This is something an individual institution needs to address, depending on their resources, among other things. And we also won't say anything about certification, mainly because we thought it is too early to talk about that. And, also, I was under the impression that there is no community consensus whether we want something similar to a project management professional certification for ontologists. What we are doing to do with quality? Well, it is basically the list of or the material that accreditation institution would use in order to accreditate a given ontology program, and these accreditation institutions would work with what is the kind of skills and the kind of knowledge that is supposed to be taught to students in a program. Okay, so one problem we immediately face when we try to do that, try to prioritize, is, well, the priorities strongly depends on the kind of career you choose, and that's pretty diverse in the field of ontology. There are people who are domain specialists who know a lot about particular domains and work on ontologies in their domains. For these ontologists, their domain knowledge is at least as important as the ontology knowledge. And then there are people who are not really specialized in domains, but rather in integrating ontologies in larger software systems and IT systems to solve a particular problem. And, of course, they need a lot of software engineering skills, which are not directly ontology-related, but in order to make use of the ontology, they need all of that. And then you might want to distinguish between ontology-related knowledge and skills, which are core, and some which would be nice to have, but you could call elective. So what we were focusing on in this panel is identifying the core of the skills and knowledge that is relevant for ontology. And I use the term skills and knowledge because in the following sense, skills are abilities to do things, abilities to solve problems. And knowledge I understand as having true beliefs, and this is, of course, not always easily distinguishable. For many skills, you need to know stuff. So in the teaching, that needs to go together. And Barry already mentioned another dimension that we could distinguish the skills and knowledge, at least whether they're human-directed or whether they're software-directed. Well, we are now on slide... we were now on slide 6, and we are now going on to slide 7. So I am going to present now a list of the skills and knowledge ordered by core and electives, with the focus being really on the core skills and knowledge. Next slide. Core skills. Well, these are all skills which are required for developing and improving ontologies. Start with clarifying the purpose of ontologies, managing ontologies, knowing what sort of ontologies are useful for what sort of problems, and know when not to use an ontology to solve a problem, identifying and evaluating using software, ontology development, choosing the appropriate representation language, choosing the appropriate level of detail, identifying existing content resources, next slide, designing an ontology as an assembly of usable modules, using different representation languages, identifying terms and relationships that are relevant in the domain, formulating definitions, improving ontologies, documenting ontologies, and working in a team. And if you have all of these skills, you're probably going to be able to write very decent ontologies. But then there are additional skills which you need in order to apply the ontologies in some environment or for some specific purpose. And for that, you need to know use cases. So training should not just be, you shouldn't be just trained in the skills of creating a beautiful ontology, but you should always be trained to use that ontology in a particular context for a specific use case. Sorry, that was slide 10. And we are now moving on to slide 11. Elective skills. This is not a complete list. But examples for elective skills is training of people in the use of ontologies, coordinating ontology development efforts. That's particularly the case if you have different communities creating ontologies which might overlap, and creating meaningful visualizations of ontologies. Excellent. So the core knowledge, and this is a lot based on Michael O'Neill's presentation. So the core knowledge includes the point what Barry said, you need to know the basic terminology, you need to have the theoretical foundations which come from logic, theory, and philosophy. You need to know representation languages, and here the problem is that there are a lot of them, and we think we probably need to distinguish between a core part and additional ones. The building and editing ontologies involves use of tools and knowing how to solve the probability problems and also working with humans. Next slide, slide 13. The core knowledge further includes evaluation strategies, knowing examples of ontologies that illustrate different methodologies, as well as for examples for applications of ontologies. And one particularly important example for application ontologies is ontology with web, and we talk about the semantic web initiative. So the last point here, point 8, might be considered a subcase actually of point 7, which seems so important to us at its own point. Next slide, the slide 14. The elective knowledge, basically to any of the previous topics that I just mentioned, you could do an advanced course, but it certainly involves advanced logic and advanced philosophical ontology, where you study particular theories of, for example, narrow topology, other theories. Then there are areas in computer science which are extremely relevant, and linguistics and cognitive science. These are all which additional knowledge which we put, which we group under the heading underlying and related disciplines. So it's academic knowledge that is relevant for ontologies. Then there's a whole group of knowledge which comes has to do with supporting tools and technologies and methodologies, which includes, under, among other things, the additional representation languages that I mentioned before, the that also theories of the role of text mining and content acquisition, and similar things. So, in addition to that, which are the application domains, I don't really want to talk about all of them because they are basically any domain could be an application domain, but this is additional knowledge which might be relevant to you if you want to specialize in a given area. And I'm now on slide 17. Here we have an example, as I said, which is our goal was not to create for the master's program, but here's just an example of our 36 credit master's program could look like to it basically consists of 9 courses and which would be considered core, and then 9 credits for electives, and the core these 4 courses that I listed here are linked to the various items before, so in parentheses it tells what kind of knowledge areas are covered and which kind of fields are going to be taught. If you look at the list, there are 3 courses which are basically application courses where the students would learn how to do things with hands, for example. I didn't include here any example for a 10-day course. That was something which was discussed previously, that what could you teach in a very limited amount of time to students, some framework of 10 days. And after thinking about it, I came to the conclusion that there is really not much you could do when you teach it just unspecifically. I think that's just too little time. You need to select some of the core knowledge and skills that was listed in the previous slide, but in order to be useful, you probably want to tailor your course to the needs of your participants. That means you better select the participants in a way that they have a common interest, common background, so that you can teach very specifically to them. This concludes my slide. And I'm not sure, Barry, are you going to take over, or?
I think probably we should both continue to monitor the discussion, but I'm willing to monitor the panel session more actively. And it means that we need to call on Nicola to give the first 5-minute panel response.
So, can you hear me?
Yes.
Nicola. Okay, just a few comments to what both Barry and Fabian presented. My main preoccupation is what is at the core, okay? So there was a slide, I can't remember the number. There was the first slide with this picture. There is the core, then there is software engineering, electives, and domains. I believe I would insist on one single expression, ontological analysis. This is something I haven't seen in the straw man. Of course, it is embedded in what is there already. But I believe it is useful to stress the importance of ontological analysis as separate from, let's say, doing ontology, as a kind of the core competency need. And I agree very much with Barry in the fact that this is not a competence which already knowledge engineers have, or philosophers have, or whatever. I insist on the fact that the ontological analysis, for the purposes we have, is unavoidably interdisciplinary. So, and this is the novelty of what probably we can call ontology science. So the methodology is a new thing, and the methodology is in understanding and clarifying and making explicit what content is. And in this sense, it is interdisciplinary. Well, a first element is a formal ontological analysis, which in my sense, in my view, just should build on the standards of philosophy. So I would like to see things like to see expanded some things which are already in the straw man under the label philosophical ontology. I would see clearly put things like notion of essence and identity, parts and mereology, unity and plurality, dependence, composition, constitution, properties and qualities. These are the very building blocks of formal ontological analysis on the side of philosophy. And also, since we have an application-oriented perspective, differently from philosophers, it's definitely fun of ignore language and terminology, I agree very much, and whatever comes from linguistics. And I would add, since we address people, we cannot ignore cognition, perception, and all these things. Because whatever we do, whatever kind of content we analyze, it is content which is mediated by perception, cognition, and these mechanisms, as well as the social aspects. So this is another thing I would like to see explicitly in the proposal. Some kind of sociological sensitivity or knowledge is also important, especially if you address things belonging to the social domain, which are most of the useful things that we need. So this is just my first reaction to the proposal, but I agree very much with the overall structure of the discourse.
And so I don't have the list here, so yes, I do. So Zagabat, can you continue and give your response?
Okay. So I agree very much with Nicola on the ontological analysis. That's sort of a somewhat higher level idea than in the list. There is identifying terms and relationships, which I actually would rather see as identifying entities and relationships in a domain or in the information content that's needed to solve a problem and that we need an ontology. But the ontological analysis gets at this a little from a higher viewpoint, if you will. So to crystallize out the structure of that domain and look at all the different entities and all the relationships and how they interrelate and together model the knowledge that is required. So by the way, ontologies also need to be able to write axioms. So that was one comment. My other comment is more on the practical training side. I think we need to look how this relates to other educational programs that exist. So I am in an information studies program, and we teach people, among other things, how to construct thesauri or taxonomies or classifications, it's a very similar process. Looking at the life cycle management, it's very similar from these different artifacts. They are not as formal as the ontologies we are talking about here. But there might be people who know how to deal with all these artifacts, from formal ontologies to less well-structured thesauri. And so we need to see how does training ontologies relate to training other people who do somewhat similar things. And I think the third point has less to do with the content as with how you use the training. Fabian already alluded to that. I do not think you can really learn how to build an ontology or how to build a taxonomy for that matter without actually doing it. So So any training program will need a heavy component where students actually do it. Because it's, I mean, you can explain the principles, but to really have this ability to look at the domain and see this is the overall structure, this are the relationship types we need, takes a lot of practice, and it's almost like an apprenticeship kind of education rather than just a lecture type education. And that's my remark.
Barry, do you want to allow responses or questions, or do you want to wait and want everybody to come in?
I think probably if you have something that you urgently want to say, Fabian, then you should say it.
Well, I think I had a question for Nicola. When he said when he mentioned all the philosophical theories that are important for ontology, I mean, maybe it's more a comment. The way I saw our job here is to provide a large structure and not to identify the curriculum or the content of the curriculum in detail, mainly because that's that will be part of the content track, not our track. But I agree with all he said, but I just thought it wasn't our job to go into these details. And whenever we had examples in parentheses, that was just to illustrate, not intended to be a complete list. I completely agree with the ontological analysis, the point that Nicola made and Dagobert also made. You should have probably used the term, and yes, it is, you identify entities and not terms. That's what you think. And yes, axioms are, I'm not going to underestimate the importance. I will change that.
Thank you, Fabian. So we should mention that Dagobert was actually helping us quite a lot in putting together these sentences. So, Nicola, did I hear you start to say something?
I agree. I see the point. Of course, the specific content needs to be. It can be taken a little bit. We can abstract a little bit from the specific content. However, I have somehow the feeling that just mentioning philosophical ontology is not enough for clarifying what the core theoretical foundation is. Unfortunately, as we said, also we are as a community, what we need is some basic methodology for ontological analysis, okay, which is different from philosophical ontology, although it's built on philosophical ontology, and unfortunately, to be honest, we do not have such a thing already. Okay, so it would be nice to be able to teach ontological analysis methodology, okay? And this is the big problem we have. And we should, let's say, be aware of it and face it and, hopefully achieve some milestones soon. But I don't know if you agree with me that as a community, we feel the need of this. Let's say, in the literature, you can find things labeled methodologies or ontology development methodology, but I don't believe they can really properly be labeled as a methodology for doing ontological analysis. I don't know if I made my point clear.
Yes, I think so, and I agree.
I'm willing to agree.
Okay.
Bill, are you ready?
Can you hear me?
We can, yes.
Yes. Okay, good. All right, well, I've got quite a few comments, so if I spill a little bit over the 5 minutes, please forgive me. try to keep it as brief as I can. So given the background of everybody else contributing to this, I thought the best thing that OW could do, or Ontology Works, is to contribute the results distilled from our experience of doing over 50, maybe 100 ontology projects. They're really more precisely software development projects that involve the use of ontology. So I should say, just to start out, that you know, my heart lies with the ontological analysis emphasis that Nicola mentioned, and of course that we all love in connection with philosophical ontology and logic. But these projects, in reality, they really follow what I call or what Pat Winston called, the MIT AI guy, called the raisin bread law. That the philosophical material of the raisins in the raisin bread, you need the raisins, but they're only 5% of the total mass of the bread. The rest is all that other stuff, and so what I'm going to talk about is the other stuff. I think the real core question that needs to be addressed here is where the ontologists, as a job category, fit into larger software development efforts. I assume we're interested in educating ontologists because we want to fit them into software development, not because we just want to produce ontologists for our own sake. And so in that sense, their job, their place in the world is more closely related to what information science graduates do than really anything else, than computer science, philosophy, linguistics, even library science for that matter. Although they're probably more closely related to library science and information science. So I'll just give you some specific comments. They're distilled from Jennifer Williams, Ryan Cole, who are two of our most senior ontologists and really have some insight into these big projects. And then finally myself, just because I've been around a while, I've done fewer projects than they have. First one, Ryan suggests it's a bad move to make KR a knowledge representation and elective, rather have NLP front and center. I have to agree with this. Most of the choices we've been faced with in actual building real applications that have to use actual reasoning systems or query answering systems always involve the kind of trade-offs that KR people are very familiar with. The linguistic aspects don't seem to cause us much trouble. So I would rather see the emphasis inverted on those. It was mentioned in the straw man that emphasis on a scripting language is important. We have found that, I would raise its importance almost near the top. We found that data analysis is a lot of what ontologists actually do in real projects. You spend a lot of your time mining and tearing apart data to try to figure out what's already there. This will be related to some other comments I'll make. A specific comment that Ryan and I had was that a 3-credit course on lifecycle management and teamwork doesn't make any sense at all. My suggestion would be to adapt existing software engineering curricula. Well, one course I have in mind is University of Maryland College Park offers an excellent software engineering course that teaches students how to go from, and I'm going to analogize, how to go from doing ontology in the small, in other words, doing ontological analysis, writing OWL, you know, doing whatever you want to do, to actually working on a team and integrating with software developers to deliver a product. Those are two very different activities. So if such a course like that were adopted, that would replace 3 of the courses listed in the straw man below, specifically the use case, an example of course, lifecycle management and teamwork, and project course building ontologies. All of those activities would be incorporated into such an engineering course as I suggested. A comment from Jen Williams was that in her experience that teamwork theory has not been very useful at all, and that teamwork in practice is enormously complex and best experienced rather than discussed, which reinforces the point about doing a software engineering-like course. And in addition to software engineering course, it was mentioned sort of a sideline that you need to know a scripting language. I think actually a separate course on data analysis and manipulation would actually be quite useful. Most ontologists coming in are not going to know these scripting languages. They're probably not computer people anyway. And secondly, most projects in our experience have not been clean-slate projects. You don't just get to come in, make your wonderful ontology, tell people what its wonderful formal properties, and then everybody sees the light and uses it. That never happens. in reality, you're always going to be dealing with multiple databases, the structure of which is opaque, not documented, underdocumented. You have to do a hell of a lot of analysis before you even get to the point where you can figure out what the scope of your ontology ought to be for the project. Included in that data analysis, I would throw in ancillary data manipulation things, XML and SQL. There's no reason you can't teach somebody some scripting languages, XML and SQL, and give them an ontology to bang all that stuff against in one course. It's eminently doable. Almost to the end here. I'd like to reinforce Dagobert's point. It's really important to figure out how to develop criteria for integrating existing course offerings in universities that are already part of the computer science, information science, or library science curriculum. Otherwise, developing special purpose courses, it may be difficult to offer those courses frequently enough and gain enough support for them so that so that you can maintain a degree program. We think it's probably important to piggyback off the existing stuff and identify features that will help identify the courses that can be repurposed. Let's see, model-driven development. Okay. Nowhere in here I saw mention of the gulf that exists between application developers and ontologists. On every project we've been on where we actually had to work with a software engineering team that was not in-house, in other words, we had a customer software engineering team, and we did the ontology part of it, the raisin part. They did the bread. It's been extremely difficult to communicate with the application developers, most of whom are very, very familiar with the object-oriented analysis and design paradigm, to get them to adapt to a mathematical, logical frame of mind in dealing with these systems, all of which RDF, Common Logic, to some extent SQL even, present a different view of data than they're used to with the object-oriented paradigm that programmers are trained in. Something needs to be done, and I don't know where that fits, but that's got to show up in there somewhere. Otherwise, the chances for cooperation between ontologists and software developers, I think, are pretty dark. Let's see. I don't recognize the need for a separate philosophy of language course. I think all of us commented on that. While we view it as important, given the other stuff I said, I don't think there's room for it. Let's see. I don't think funding belongs in the life cycle skill set. That's the job of manager or middle management to do that. Probably some separate course. And finally, last comment, the idea of use cases sounds good in practice, but it'll be difficult to achieve. I can give you examples that we've dealt with in the intelligence community where the use cases are enormously complicated, and unless you go in having significant experience already, you can't even comprehend the use case. So if we're talking about doing use cases, then they would be small kind of digestible scenarios that would be fit into that software engineering-like course that I mentioned. Actual real-world use case scenarios tend to be way, way too complicated and are probably best done on OJT than in an academic course. So that's it. Any questions? Thank you for bearing with me.
Yes, Phil, I have a number of comments to make.
Okay.
I agree with a lot of what you say. I think probably your experience of working with ontologies and with software engineers is more extreme in one direction than my experience. And my experience in the biology world is that it's very often the case that you have a few somewhat independently developed data resources, but that the people involved have come to realize that they can't go on developing different data resources for every different problem or organism. And so they start to build an ontology, and they come to people like me for help, and then it really is building an ontology from scratch. And it's often the case that the data is then collected differently once the ontology exists. So I think that you're right, that it's very often the case that people need to be trained in how to work through a quagmire of existing data, but it's not always that way.
So I would agree with you, Barry. I think that's true, but even if you carried out the exercise you just mentioned, and you come up with the ontology and you get to do the integration, let's call that the back end. You've done the integration, right? You still have a front end problem. You have to work with software engineers to now present and allow manipulation of the data in the new paradigm with the ontology in place.
Yeah.
And it's the communication with those developers I was mentioning.
Yeah, I agree. This points to another difficulty that we face, and something which, again, I hope developing a coherent cadre of trained ontologies would help to address. People generally don't know what ontology is or what it's for, but they see it as just another software application or just another kind of database. And I think that one of the ways in which ontology is different from software applications is that software applications are created to solve a specific problem on the basis of a specific contract, and then the people who built it will go off and do something else. Where the ontologies I work with are built by people who maintain them year after year and who probably will be devoting their whole lives to maintaining them. And they don't see them as shrink-wrapped products, but rather they see them as public goods, a bit like the interstate highway.
The highway, yeah.
I just wanted to say that that's part of what we meant by funding. So the issues of funding here include issues of permanence. How do you create a situation in which an ontology will be respected and recognized for all eternity? And that is something which maybe you can't train, but certainly is something that people should be confronted with the problems associated.
Let me rephrase that. When you plan your ontology in your application, you need to at least to be aware of, is it one of these things where you might get continuous funding, or whether it's going to be something that after 2 years you won't have any funding more and you won't maintain it anymore, be able to maintain it. So that is something you need to be aware of when you do the planning for the project, because it might be just the case that that turns out that ontology is not the right solution. If you're working in a domain where you would have to adjust and adjust the ontology continuously, and it won't be the case if you're funding for it. So that was.
No, that makes sense. But that's present in every software lifecycle process. But let me mention too that the continued funding will be there if the ontology is perceived by the user community to deliver value. I should say if and only if.
And it will only be perceived to do so
if the software developers are brought in so that they can work with the ontology. Because ultimately people will see the software.
I think we should move on to Mike now in order to make sure that we have time for a broader.
Okay.
Barry, before you do that, can I make one comment?
Yeah.
Yeah. Since only most of our panelists are actually not on the chat board, and since we don't have slides from them, it would be nice if they could log into the chat room and document some of the salient points onto that chat board, which then becomes part of the proceedings. I'm sure Barry and Fabian are taking notes, but if they do it in the first person, that would be nice. Thanks.
Unfortunately, I have to go. Yeah, I have to go in a few minutes, so I'm just saying goodbye to all of you. I only want to remark that I understand, I agree very much on the need of piggybacking on the software engineering staff, existing software engineering courses, and so on, especially concerning information integration, database integration, and so on, software interoperability, these kind of things are basically crucial. But I would recommend not to drop language-related issues. It is extremely important. Ontology, lexical resources, WordNet, these kind of things cannot be ignored. And I believe that maybe calling it philosophical philosophy of language is not the right way of putting the name of the course. Something related to computational linguistics or simply linguistics and lexical resources, discourse analysis, this kind of things need to definitely be part of some core curricula. Possibly also speaking of the data analysis stuff, learning techniques, this kind of thing. These are just suggestions concerning the kind of things to put into the possible use of topics to be taught.
Quickly comment what we meant with the philosophy of language, and maybe it should just be integrated in a larger logic course, but there are things like the use mentioned confusion, which you see so often. People who don't understand the difference between a meaning and reference, things like that, basic stuff, which most people who are trained ontologists don't even think about, but people who have no experience in it find very confusing.
Good. So now we move on to Mike, and we thank Nicola for his contribution.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Since Barry and Fabian's notes pretty well subsume the notes that Leo and I put together, I don't have too many comments. But probably most of my comments will be more germane to the content area. So Leo and I may reappropriate your notes and extend them in some of the ways that people have already discussed that kind of next level of detail. I think it'll be important to design a curriculum that's flexible enough to be partitioned in different ways. And a second kind of point that I really kind of find interesting about this, and I think this might be one of Barry's other motivations, is that I think a lot of these ideas can really serve to bring more maturity to our field in general, in a ways of kind of providing more scientific ways, I guess you could say, of evaluating the research in the field. But to get on to some more substantive comments, I agree with some of the points that Bill mentioned. If I had to come up with one phrase to describe kind of the thrust of some of these notes, I think it would be ontological engineering. I think that's a lot of what these skills that Fabian mentioned kind of bring into play. And I also see an analogy, at least, between a lot of the software engineering methodologies for the light software lifecycle with ontological engineering. Not that they're the same thing. I don't mean to say that a software engineering course is part of an ontology curriculum, but I do believe that there is a need to have an analogous course that does begin with use cases, extracting requirements, going through design decisions, analyzing the result, and carrying through the implementation and maintenance. So I think that is a very crucial part of such a curriculum. Just from my own experience in the courses that I provide on ontologies, both at an undergraduate and a graduate level, the courses are divided really into three parts. I mean, there's the lectures, which I guess corresponds to the knowledge in these notes. But there's also the project aspect. Both these courses are project-oriented. And so the tutorials often do implicitly, although not explicitly, go through a lot of the project-related methodologies. So right from, you know, how do I begin to make the first ontological commitment and extracting the requirements, things like copy,
hello,
and so on. Am I still on?
You are still there, Michael. Don't mind.
Did I drop off?
So Fabian, it seems, has been dropped.
Oh, okay.
But just ignore him. He'll be all right.
Okay. okay, so there's in addition to the lectures or the knowledge content, there's also the projects in which people get experience in building ontologies and evaluating ontologies. And then finally there are laboratories sessions where people gain experience on all the related software tools. So, you know, again, I kind of see that aspect that you know, Fabian was mentioning about the skill set, and I think that's, again, kind of crucial. And maybe in contrary to what Bill was saying, I think use cases are crucial. Now, depending on the nature of the course, like in any software engineering course, they're often small to medium size, and you're not going to find the development of Amazon or other kinds of tools as being a use case. So it'll be important to kind of effectively design those. I think another important aspect that people have mentioned before is the interdisciplinary nature of ontology work. And this may influence a lot of, in a way, the home departments of some of these courses. And this may be a way of addressing some of the domain aspects. So I have colleagues who are in the biochemistry department here at the university. And although they don't offer an ontology course, I can imagine a course that they would offer that would, say, have some of these other ontology courses as prerequisites, but would focus on some of the more biological, motivated use cases and some aspects of ontology design and analysis that appear most often in biological domains. And I can imagine similar tailoring courses from different departments, such as information science, civil engineering, and others. There's another point which sort of comes up in some of the knowledge and skills areas. For example, it would be along the lines of outsourcing certain kinds of material to other home departments. So, for example, logic. There's an introductory logic course that is taught in, I'd say, at the University of Toronto, in philosophy, in the math department, in computer science, and I included it in my ontology course. So those are four different perspectives on logic, and I have often found that the traditional way of teaching logic is a little different from the way that we would use it within ontology design. How to write axioms, as Dagobert mentioned, is not really a skill that is a focus of a lot of philosophy or math-oriented logic courses. The ability to go from a natural language to first-order expressions, again, not a skill that's typically taught. There's often not an emphasis on semantics, so there's very little discussion typically on building models to demonstrate a theory consistent. A lot of the emphasis is on proof techniques. But even then, the proof techniques are not the ones that a lot of theory groupers use. And usually the reason you want to have students understand different kinds of proof techniques is so that they can understand the output and the limitations of various theorem proving software that's an essential tool in ontology analysis and design. I think maybe a lot of the points, I think maybe Leo and I will take back some of this material and elaborate a little bit more in terms of kind of saying, what exactly would be the content of a logic course. I really do like the skills emphasis. I think we'll include that also in our in the content aspect. And some of the other points that that Nicola mentioned about elaborating aspects of ontological analysis. I think the book comes.
Good. Thank you, Michael. Is Fabian back? It seems that we lost Fabian. Maybe there was no problem. Unless anyone has anyone from the panel has specific points to raise in regards to Michael's contribution, which I fully agree with, then
can you hear me, sir?
Yes, Fabian, you're back.
Of course,
Fabian, I was going to request that you take over the management system now.
Okay.
I will have to leave at 3, but I'll leave it to you to decide whether we're done.
Yeah, I will also have to leave at 3.
Well, I hope the people will be able to. And it's 3,
yep.
And there are not too many people who have raised their hands yet. So first, let me thank all of our panelists. This was a great comment. I appreciate it very much. Of course, this is a straw man, so the whole idea was to put out something which can be improved and worked with. And, the first person on the list in the queue is Dagobert. Please unmute yourself. It's star 3.
That was a mistake. So go
okay.
The next person.
Then please the next.
Teresa.
Yep.
Hi. In the previous discussion, there was an issue raised saying that object-oriented programmers find it hard to relate to ontologies that we are talking about here. Last year when we were talking in one of the discussions, this point was raised, and if you use tools like RDF and OWL, in RDF you do use the concepts of subject, object, and predicate, and if you actually take them apart, you can do further object-oriented analysis or entity relation analysis. So it's at a logical level. There is a correlation there from ontologies to UML, and it's not obvious, but you can use that if people are bent upon for continuing to use object-oriented analysis and design techniques further on using the same ontologies. This is something that was raised last year, and I think some of the presentations included that solution.
Bill, would you like to comment on that? I think you were the one.
Yes, yeah, sure. My point really only was that we've run into this problem a few times, but it doesn't matter what the logic is, whether it's RDF or whether it's common logic or like our systems use. The folks are just not used to thinking that way. They're used to thinking about making classes and methods and so on. And even though, for example, there's attributes in RDF or things that would look like attributes to an object-oriented programmer, there's nothing like a method. So inheritance kind of works in the way that they're not really... The inheritance in object-oriented stuff is defeasible inheritance, and it's not in a logical system, in monotonic logical systems. So there's just a little bit of conceptual gulf that has to be overcome, and I think the training needs to come on both sides. Application developers working with ontologists need to know where the ontologists are coming from. The ontologists need to understand where the application developers are coming from. So it wouldn't hurt for an ontologist to have a little Java programming experience, for example.
Thank you for that. I think that conceptual difference between analysts and designers and developers exists at this point, even at any other areas. Business analysts generally talk from the business terminology and conceptual design, and implementation people talk in a different tone. But I understand what you're saying.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Frank, you there? Frank, stop.
This is Frank Holton. So, one point, I think our discussion, at least implicitly, seems to have been completely dominated by logic-based approaches to ontologies. And I think these are very important and will probably continue to predominate. But I think that it's often very helpful, particularly at the introductory level, to characterize some of the ontological structures. I'm thinking here of taxonomies and partonomies in graph theoretic terms as partial orders. And Cliff Joslin has been doing some very interesting work on using graph theoretic approaches to ontology integration. And I think this should be explicitly addressed in the curriculum in addition to the logic issues. And if there are some communities, I think the OBO community is almost entirely based on graph formalisms.
So, Frank, I could respond to that since I know what the OBO community is doing. In fact, they are increasingly using a logical underpinning for their graph formalism. So it will soon be the case that there are some OBO ontologies formulated using common logic. But I don't think there is any actual conflict here. The graph formalism can be aided by a logical infrastructure, and the logical infrastructure is aided by a visualization system just through graph theoretic techniques. So I don't think the contrast is as great as you think, and certainly we wouldn't want to exclude anything in this area from the curriculum. However, I think that one thing that we do want to emphasize is that we don't want people to be focusing on techniques or technologies at the expense of actual applications. So it could be that you have absolutely amazing graph theoretic techniques for integrating ontologies, But if no one uses them, and if they don't help anybody in actual work, then they would fall outside the purview of what we want these courses to cover.
Okay. Well, I think people will use them once the software tools are available. And I think it's not just a question of visualization. But that's a conversation we can have offline.
Yes. Okay. I think the next one in the queue is Atula.
You hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So I just wanted to offer a comment in connection with seeing ontology as a software artifact. For instance, one of the comments that were offered both by Bill Henderson and I don't remember her name, Benita or something like that. Oh, Pavitra. Establishing connections between ontologies and object-oriented analysis. If ontologies are seen as software artifacts, typically what happens is that the software artifact itself has a way of being represented as being used. The use usually is by building some sort of an interface so that other layers in the software system can get to it. Examples of that are very common, for instance, in databases with different types of data access layers, et cetera, et cetera. So this is one thing that, to me, it's a little fuzzy in the straw man, and maybe you, Fabian, you want to clarify, which is that the ontology itself, seen as an artifact, which I see as a software artifact, cannot be singled out from the software itself, and the software itself has a very complex life cycle. So to me, it's not clear how that type dependency is expressed in the straw man, and what would be the best way to study it. So that, I guess that's my comment and question as well. Thank you.
Yeah, I would like to address that. I started with the observation that what ontologies do is very differs a lot, and I think the ontolog community is actually consists mainly of people who have a very very software driven side. But when I worked in the biomedical field, I could have spent the rest of my career just creating ontologies and improving ontologies without really ever worrying about the software, because that would have been done by somebody else. I'm exaggerating a little bit, but it is a lot of the work which was done was really understanding the domain well enough so that you can create an intelligent ontology. And I think both careers are valuable. I mean, clearly you need both kind of ontologists. You need the people who are basically software engineers with solid understanding of ontology, and you need people who are domain experts with solid understanding of ontology. And I think our courses or the curricula need to reflect the need for both. So there needs to be enough flexibility so that people can specialize within their training in this direction. That's at least my take on it. Arturo?
Oh, thank you, Fabian. I didn't know that I had the opportunity for follow-up. Since there are many other people in the queue, so let's give them opportunity to also
send
their comments or questions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks. The next is Pat.
Yeah, hi. Hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I have more of a suggestion than a question, and that is on question of application. All the comments that you made are really valuable, but one thing I don't see emphasized is that we really need to have a public domain open source, inspectable applications that use these technologies. And without that, I think the whole course makes no sense. That a course could be one of the possibilities to have a course organized around some series of actual real life genuine applications, and to show how each of these facets of ontology engineering fit in to some real application. You can go online and try it out and those things. Bill Anderson made a lot of important points about the integration of ontology knowledge, fundamental ontology knowledge, organization, conceptualization with computer engineering. It's kind of program that Bill's company builds will be really valuable to get some of these things out there, some kind of application online that people can use in the integration of ontology and capital. So applications. If anybody has any applications, this is a request that you can, that people can actually use, especially something that you put online and people can simply try to do something with it, which has a ontology in the background. We should collect these things and sort of think which one is appropriate as experiences with people.
Yeah, yeah, Pat, this is Michael. I think a few other people have maybe said in some of the earlier email traffic, the idea of having, like, there's this process management body of knowledge kind of effort to have ontological engineering body of knowledge. And the body of knowledge would include all these previous use cases, ultimately, I guess they'd be developed into success stories.
Not just use cases, real applications.
Real applications.
Technologies. I think of a use case as a way you might develop an application,
right.
An application that could be developed. I'm thinking of an application that's really there, it's alive, doing things.
No, exactly, yeah. But that would be part of our body of knowledge. And I kind of like that sort of metaphor. I think that's something that's to be done in addition to the curriculum that we're designing. Yeah. So, Fabian, this is Michael. I have to sign off now. I have to go give a one-hour introductory ontology lecture to a first-year class. So I'm going to compress all of this into 1 hour.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you very much. Peter, I think you are the next in the queue.
Yes. Thank you, Fabian.
Signing off. Talk about it. Bye.
Yep. And thank you. I think all the comments by the panel and obviously the opening from Barry and Fabian were great. Barry has already made a solicitation again to people about responding to the surveys. A lot of you here has already responded, but a few haven't. And since we're here because we are passionate about what this really means, so we need each and everyone to get onto those surveys so that we get a broad perspective and a representative collection of opinion from the real experts. Otherwise, it could be skewed because these survey forms are open and anyone can make any comments. But in particular, Arturo and Anthony's survey on existing ontology education and training programs needs a few more inputs. We definitely know that there are more people who are offering training than the ones who have already responded, as well as the survey from Amanda and Fabian on the knowledge and skills that are really needed or expected to get the work done. And thirdly, there's a real-time Delphi study. Don't look at that as another survey, but rather look at it as a useful platform as a replacement for, let's say, the mailing list, so that we can focus on discussing a few specific issues. The real-time Delphi is unlike a survey. It expects you to go back in multiple times, look at it as an expert panel session where the group can exchange opinions. You can spend maybe 3 minutes and finish it, or you can spend 3 hours on it, or you can spend the 3 hours in five different settings. So please get onto that, because all these, of course, plus the input during these sessions will be collected and will be presented at the symposium face-to-face. And by the way, the symposium on March 15th and 16th at NIST will be taking registrations fairly soon. So be on the lookout for it. So thank you, Fabian.
Thank you, Peter. Okay, it seems that we are on time. I think nobody else is on the queue, so let me conclude this panel session, and let me again thank all our panelists and all the participants for the very helpful and interesting remarks. So I hope to see you soon. I think the Peter, when is the next when is our next session on this series?
Okay, the next session on this series won't be coming along until March the 5th. So we have a few weeks in between. That session on March 5th will essentially be a sort of overview of the draft deliverables, because we have track champions who will be synthesizing all the inputs. So March 4th session will be a review and the alignment of the draft deliverables, and probably those would be the raw material that goes into this year's summit communique. But in between, we have a session on February 25th with a very interesting application. We have had the pleasure to get the consent from Adam Chaya and Tom Gruber to tell us about their new invention. For those who haven't heard about this, it's called Siri. This is a spin-off from SRI. So this company is SIRI, and the title of their talk is called Siri, an ontology-driven application for the masses. So if anyone is interested in applications, come join us on February 25th. So back to you, Fabian.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Okay. Have a good one.